You are listening to an American Free Press podcast. Joining me on the line is South Carolina Senator Lee Bright, Republican Roebuck. Senator, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Senator, I read recently South Carolina is mulling an alternate currency. Says Senator Lee Bright, South Carolina should coin its own money. And it goes on to say that you introduced legislation that backs the creation of a new state currency that could protect the financial stability of South Carolina in the event of a breakdown of the Federal Reserve System. Senator, what's the genesis of your thinking about why South Carolina might need a new currency?
Well, for a couple of years now, we've had some folks down at the State House that have really been wanting to discuss their concerns about the Federal Reserve monetizing the debt and rampant inflation. And they've made, you know, a good case, and they had kind of gone back and forth and wanted to talk about what we could do to hedge against that. And I happened to notice that there was a bill sponsored actually in Virginia that called for a study committee, and that was the first time I'd seen one drafted in that manner, because I think it's such a complex issue that it would take a study committee just to come up with ideas on how you would even implement such a thing. But I think that we are in bizarre times, and, you know, to think that we're in a situation where our own government would deprive us our own natural resources when it comes to fossil fuels is just, to me, absurd. So, you know, what can we do to protect ourselves if this economy does collapse?
Mm-hmm. Which it looks like it's heading down the road to collapse. In South Carolina, how many legislators are in the South Carolina House? And do they have a House and a Senate? Is that what it's called?
We do.
Okay. How many are there in the House and the Senate?
There's actually 124 in the House, and we normally have 46 in the Senate, but our Senator Mick Mulvaney just defeated John Spratt, so his seat is vacant. We're waiting to fill it, so normally it'd be a combined of 170.
Okay. You have co-sponsors for this bill?
Actually, I'm the only sponsor on this bill. I know that they've got some on the House side of another bill, but mine is, like I said, more geared to our study committee as far as getting co-sponsors. When I saw the bill that was sponsored in Virginia and I read the contents of it, I thought that was actually a pretty good bill. And it sponsored it and didn't really look for a lot of co-sponsors. Usually I'll do that either before I drop a bill or afterwards, because it's got to go through the committee process. But the firestorm that was created, you know, most of the media was talking about us using coins. And, I mean, basically, we laid out the constitutional argument over the fact that the states do have some authority in that. You know, it's not like we can't print money, obviously. So the news story was framed in an argument of that we were trying to print a new Confederate currency. And, I mean, they just demonized the issue. But, you know, I think a study committee would be prudent. And, obviously, the Constitution, and I'm a strict constructionist, and the Constitution does not allow the states to actually print their own legal tender. So we can't print money, but we can have a gold-backed type currency. It's just we couldn't, you know, open up the printing presses. What I find that the strange argument is that, how, you know, it wouldn't be worth anything, but I don't know how you can say that our dollar is worth anything at the point that we're going right now.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people agree with that. The legislation claims many widely recognized experts predict the inevitable destruction of the Fed system's currency through hyperinflation in the foreseeable future. Have you spoke to any of these people about it, or have you read books on it, or...
I've read some articles and talked to some folks in the financial sector, and I'll tell you what, I talked to a constituent of mine the other day who actually was an economics major in college, and I called him about the bill, and we were talking, and he said, man, it's a great bill, it's just people think it's crazy. He said, you know, anybody that knows the monetary system and understands quantitative easing realizes that we're on the verge of a crisis. He said, but the problem is that the vast majority of folks don't understand that. And he said, you know, the media demonizes you as soon as you even talk about a study committee. I've been amazed because we've done so many things as a state, and we've actually been having a good legislative session as far as accomplishments go. But I have had nothing but press demonizing this one issue versus all the other things we've done.
Yeah, I can see that. That's very interesting. Why do you think the press, the media, which is supposed to be unbiased, why do you think they are attacking you so much about this? Who do you think's behind them?
I'm a staunch conservative, and usually, you know, basically politics is a contact sport, and if you do anything controversial and the media thinks they can frame it, then they're going to come after you, and I accept that. And they sensationalize stories. I used to have a real angst against the media, and I do to an extent. I think, you know, some of the outlets do have ulterior motives, but, you know, we as a society have gotten, we want to be entertained and not informed.
That's right.
And sometimes they craft these headlines just in order to get people to read them and make something sound crazy just in order to sell a newspaper. So I wish that folks wanted to be more informed, and I think that you can see to an extent they are, you know, with the success of Fox News and how well they've done.
But it would seem like the better approach to it would be, okay, let's study it and see if it makes sense. But what you're saying, no, they want to put the headlines that attract the readers because people are interested in infotainment more than the reality of the news, right?
That's a great term. That is a great term.
Infotainment? I didn't coin it, though.
Okay. I heard a story once about a preacher. You know, the first time you hear the story, you give the person credit, and it becomes your story about the third time you tell it. So
right.
I appreciate your intellectual honesty.
Thank you. Where you're at in South Carolina, what is the town there that you reside around?
It's actually Spartanburg. I have a P.O. box in Roebuck, but it's the upstate of South Carolina. I always like to tell folks that Greenville's kind of a suburb of Spartanburg, and then Charlotte, a suburb, and then Atlanta. So, you know, we kind of see ourselves as the center of the southeast. But, yeah, we're in a great location. Actually, BMW Manufacturing is right there in my district, and we've got some very good companies in the area. And our economy, you know, we've got some growth in it, but it's still a tough time. I mean, the banks have tightened up so much that it's tough on small businesses, and folks are struggling.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to lead up to. I was going to ask, how is the economic situation down there? So it is showing signs of wear.
Right. I mean, you know, we've got some large corporations that are making some investments, and they're able to weather the storm, you know, much better than the small guys, and we're thankful for that. But, you know, in this country, I believe it's about 80% of folks are employed by small businesses, and you know, the big businesses are great, and the businesses that surround them that produce and all jewelry-type businesses are great. But I wish that we could help all businesses, because right now it is really tough for the small guy.
Right. As you mentioned earlier, you're not alone in feeling that we are in ominous times when it comes to our economy, when it comes to our currency, when it comes to the practices of the Federal Reserve, which, of course, is not an institution that was created by the founders, by the great men who put this country together. Of course, the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, the same year the income tax was created. Do you feel that, besides wanting to study this issue, of course, to see if it makes sense, do you feel that regardless of whether or not South Carolina adopts its own currency to protect against the inevitable collapse of the dollar, do you feel at all positive about the economic future of the United States, or do you feel that really we've just reached the point of no return because our manufacturing base is so depleted that the odds are, at least in our lifetimes, we're not going to see the country return to the country it was when we grew up in it?
Well, my view is that 2012 is going to be the deciding factor. I mean, and I'm in the Republican Party, but I am more of a conservative than I am a Republican. And if we do not field a staunch conservative as the party nominee and that nominee does not win, I don't see how the country survives. I think our decline will be imminent if in 2012 we don't put a staunch conservative president who is willing to kick against the pricks and do whatever is necessary to turn this country around. The EPA is out of control. I mean, all these federal agencies are out of control. I mean, I know I think Congress is making some positive steps. You know, I know that the argument can be made it's too little too late, but I'm holding out hope because I still believe that this is the greatest country on earth, and God blesses us in spite of how we behave, and I'm just hoping that things will turn around, and I believe they can, but we can't have another entitled nominee for the Republican Party. It's got to be the best, strongest conservative in the field, and I mean, I think you're seeing what's happening in Wisconsin and what's happening in Indiana, what's happening in New Jersey, and you know, especially New Jersey. I mean, tell you what, I travel from time to time, and I'm a fan of New Jersey. You know, I'm raised in the South. We were always taught it was a concrete jungle up there, but you've got some beautiful countryside. I like it up there, but, you know, it's not a bastion of conservatism, but I'll have to say Chris Christie has, I think, done a great job, and the fact that he's willing to go and fight things that are so entrenched, you know, that's a good sign for New Jersey and a good sign for this country.
Worst case scenario, 2012 doesn't produce the type of candidate that you think would be good for the country. What if the current president gets reelected or something along those lines? What does the future hold for the country?
You know, unless the states have a constitutional convention or amend the Constitution, my argument is this. I have people come to me and say, you shouldn't be thinking about this kind of stuff because if the Federal Reserve collapses, the country's finished anyway. And, you know, I just believe this country's bigger than the Federal Reserve, and I believe this country's bigger than the bankers. And I just think that we just make a plan or try to have a plan and move forward. I mean, people are still going to want to buy and sell goods, and if the dollar collapses and I mean, I think that, you know, the argument that I've heard so many times about, you know, manipulation in our currency, I would just hate to think what a global currency would be, how badly that would be manipulated.
Do you think that the nominal leaders are heading toward that type of a currency?
Well, they're openly talking about it. I mean, you know, it's strange that the media has demonized this issue so much, because you got the rest of the world talking about ditching the dollar, and then you got folks at home that question the sustainability of the dollar being treated like fringe. But when the Russian and Chinese talk about it, it seems like common sense.
That's why I was so curious about why you thought it was that the media here in the United States is demonizing this issue so much. What's the next step for your legislation?
Well, we've got it set in the Finance Committee, and I've been receiving a really hard time. I mean, a lot of my colleagues are mocking the bill just because it's popular to mock right now, you know, but I'm still going to push it, and hopefully we'll get a hearing on it. And there are a lot of folks behind it. A lot of the patriot groups are behind it. And, you know, it just depends on how much steam it can pick up. Fundamentally, if we can just get the word out, this is just a study. I mean, everybody wants all the question answered on exactly how it's going to operate. I mean, this is a study committee, and that's going to be the study committee's job.
But they don't even want it to even get to the study.
No. They don't. And I've talked to folks, and with my involvement in the bill, I want to see to it that no tax money is spent. We've got some people all over South Carolina that are very interested in this issue that I'm sure would serve on a volunteer basis without even being paid a per diem. So I've had a lot of people say, oh, this is going to cost the state all kind of money. Well, I'm sure we can do this without it costing the state a dime.
Now, how can our listeners help out? Is there something that they can do? Do you have a website that they can go to? Does it make sense for them to send emails, letters to you? Now, what about listeners outside of the Palmetto State?
Well, you know, I get emails from all over the country, and you know, you can go to the South Carolina State Gov website and go to the legislature and, you know, email individual legislators or, you know, basically just spread the word. I mean, you know, the more folks you talk to, it's a big country, but it's also a small country, and everybody kind of networks with different individuals, and I would say educate yourself on the issue. So if you are running to somebody that's objective about it, you know, be ready to talk about it. And like I said, I think that if everybody would stress the fact that we don't have the answers, we're just asking the questions, that maybe we can get somewhere with this, because the problem is that as soon as you mention it, people want to get into all the details. And I mean, I don't think it's, you know, something that hasn't even been studied enough to have the details. So just as you're talking to your friends and colleagues and folks at work, just tell them that, you know, you think it's something we ought to look into, and leave it at that, because the problem is people get you into the weeds and the details that the folks that are think this is a good idea and are kind of in the forefront don't have all the answers to yet.
Can I give out your email address for the listeners? Would that be okay?
Yeah, it's lbright.12@gmail.com.
Okay, so it's lbright, B-R-I-G-H-T, 12?
Dot 12. Yeah, lbright.12@gmail.com.
So listeners, if you want to send an email to Senator Bright commenting on the legislation, giving him some support, or the reverse of that, objecting to it for whatever reason, you would want to object to a study, which obviously doesn't make sense, go ahead, contact him. State Senator Lee Bright from South Carolina, I want to thank you so much for the time you took out today to explain all this to our listeners. And we'll be following this, and hopefully we can speak to you in the future about it.
It's nice to have some folks looking at this objectively than what I've seen recently. So I appreciate that. And, you know, it's good to have alternative media. I think that talk radio and the internet is definitely doing its part in trying to save this country and get the other side out, as far as our side's information out to the public.
Thanks so much, Senator Bright.
Thank you. Bye-bye.